You may get the raw Kristen today. I'm asking your permission if I can be candid this morning. All good? Okay. All right, so I'm going to remove the filter a little bit if that's okay with you. Yes, Dale winced. So tomorrow we're celebrating Memorial Day. We remember those who put their lives on the line for us so that we could be in a free country. And we honor those who are casualties of war, whom we've lost, those who've lost their lives in battle. Some survived and some didn't. And some survived with scars, both physical and emotional. Today, especially being Memorial Day, we remember those who did not survive, the casualties. I also want those of you who are veterans to understand how grateful I am, we are, for your service. This morning, I want to talk about a different military. If you're a Christian, you're part of this army. You're part of God's army. Now, here's the part where I'm going to remove the filter a little bit, because you probably don't hear a lot of discussion in churches anymore about army, war, military. A lot of that language has been taken out because it's very offensive to people. We don't like to talk about war imagery. It's harsh, just like a lot of the language about Christ's blood that he shed. And those things have been kind of removed because people do find that upsetting. And we certainly don't want to upset people, especially if they're coming to church for the first time. We don't want to upset them by talking about things that are unpleasant. But today I want to do that because it's what's real. And sometimes to talk in truth and discuss these things is to discuss what is unpleasant. I was discussing with Bill earlier this morning about the flag. Now, it may be a subtle thing, but there are pastors who don't like the flag. The flag does not belong in the church. They feel that the church is God's. The flag is the country's, and the country has been very clear about religion and government not mixing. So they don't like to have the flag in the church. Additionally, there are some things in our government that I frankly don't support. Things that are wrong, things that are hurtful. I don't support those things. Where people are wounded. Not okay. But then, I do support the foundation of what this country was founded on. You know, freedom and liberty for all, for every person, no matter what, to be held sacred as one of God's children. Now that I stand behind. And especially for those men and women who fought bravely so that we could live in a country where I can tuck my daughter in at night and not worry that someone will come in and kill us. So this morning, I want to talk about the fact that we fight a physical war in some aspects with government, but in reality, all of us, every single sacred person, is fighting a spiritual war, because this is the plane we live on. We're under attack every single day. What I want to know this morning is, does our church have any battle casualties? Lisa read the parable that Jesus gave about the sower and the seeds. And the seed is God's message, right? The seed that fell on the hard path represent those who hear the message, but then the evil one comes and steals it away and prevents them from believing and being saved. And the rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy, but like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but then when the hot winds of testing blow, they wither. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by cares of this world and pleasures in life. And they don't need God. They have other things. So they never grow into maturity. But the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's message and cling to it and build a relationship with God and desire to grow in that relationship. So I want to talk about some of the casualties of war. First, those who are killed in action. These are the folks that they've heard about God, but they really don't have anything in their lives to support their walk with Him. You know, they know who God is. They know what a Bible is. They know that there's churches in the community, but they really don't see the need to worship or open the Bible or do any of those things. After all, they're good people. So they have no prayer life. They have no community of faith. Maybe they don't even have a Bible in their house so that they can bathe themselves in the Word of God. They're killed in action. Oh, if somebody would have prayed with them or shared their faith with them, or invited them to church. These are the seeds that fell on hard path and they don't get a chance to be nourished. I just wonder, what would happen if we were to come along and brush them into the good soil and speak life to them? What could have been done to prevent this tragedy? We mourn their loss. Then there are those who are missing in action. We still carry them on the duty roster because we do actually see them twice a year. There's a term that pastors use. It's called creasters. We see them at Christmas and Easter. If there's any spiritual life in them, it's shallow. When tragedy strikes, they don't have a deep faith to sustain them, to give them that peace that passes all understanding. They don't have a relationship with God. When they lose somebody, they don't have the good news to know that their loved one is going to be okay. These are the seeds that fell on rocky soil. Their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but when things happen, a divorce, an illness, a job loss, they're done. They have no use for a God or a church that doesn't ensure an easy life. And we mourn their loss. Then there are those who are missing in action, believed prisoner. Now, this category is represented by those who once were active, but they've been taken prisoner by the enemy. Maybe someone or something in the church has upset them. So therefore, they're going to boycott worshiping God. Pride has taken them. Or maybe they found better things to do with their time and have laid down their arms and have ceased to fight. We hold out hope of rescuing them. But whom will we send? Who will talk to them? Who will pray with them? Who will invite them? Who will retrieve them? We mourn their loss. Then there are those who are missing in action, presumed dead. We don't know what became of them. They're still on the roster, but no one has seen them for ages. There's no search party. No one from their own command has gone looking for them. They haven't come back to headquarters. They've just vanished. And we mourn their loss. Are all of these casualties of spiritual war without hope? Is the hope maybe lying in us? The good news is our commander was so concerned about one soldier missing in action. And all soldiers to our commander are good soldiers, loved, valued. He's so concerned about the one that he'll leave the other 99 and go search for the missing one until he is found, or she. So Jesus used this illustration in Luke 15:3-7. If you had 100 sheep and one of them strayed away and was lost in the wilderness, wouldn't you leave the 99 others and go search for the one lost until you found it? And then, wouldn't you joyfully carry it home on your shoulders? And when you arrived, wouldn't you call together all of your friends and neighbors and rejoice because the lost sheep was found? In the same way, heaven will be happier over one lost sinner who returns to God than the other 99 others who were righteous and haven't strayed away. We may mourn the loss of those who have been killed in action or are presumed missing or dead, but wouldn't it be a celebration if we found out that they weren't a casualty of war? They're still alive. We need to find that out. Part of what Jesus tells us is to go. Go seeking the lost and the lonely and the marginalized. Because we need each other. We're fighting a battle. And our battleground looks like this. We live in a society that has vilified Christians and looks on us with suspicion. And to be fair, Christians haven't always gotten it right. We live in a place where temptations are easier to fall into with the internet, with shaky values, and with seductive marketing. We live in a place where apathy runs rampant. We're desensitized. Honestly, and if I'm to be completely honest, I've had nights where I've laid in bed thinking, I need to count my blessings. And I get up to like 5 and I think, okay, what else? Really? I have air in my lungs. Come on. We have so many blessings. We live in a place where parents don't want to necessarily influence their children in their belief systems, so they avoid all spiritual teachings. And their children don't get to hear the good news. So I have another question. Are you a battle casualty this morning? Are you perhaps among the wounded? If so, there is hope. There is great hope. We have hope at a commander who will not leave you out in the field. And we also know the end of the story. We know that God's army wins. And we are part of God's army. Amen.